Good morning, you're welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley, and we're looking at the Green Party convention. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio now by Senator for the Green Party, Pauline O'Reilly. And Pauline, you're also running in the European elections, and that was to the fore at the Green Party convention, setting out your stall like the other government parties as well, and housing, like everyone else, with the elections coming up, is a big issue.
Look, that's right. It was great to get together on Saturday. It was a rally for the elections. We know, and you can just hear it on the news there, we know that the climate and nature crisis is to the fore right across Europe, right across the globe. And what we've seen, particularly in Europe, is a stepping back from some of the promises made 5 years ago. 5 years ago in 2019, we had a bumper crop of Green MEPs right across Europe elected. And then we saw a leaked document the week before last from the European Council taking out any references to climate out of the priorities for the next 5 years. So this is a critical period. And I guess in Ireland, you know, we've seen a reduction in emissions just since we've been in government. So it's making sure that we continue. And what our slogan is keep going green. Mm. Because my experience going around Midlands Northwest is that people like the changes, such as, you know, a reduction in fares on transport, more buses, one more rural bus service a week. Any of the schemes that are put in place for farmers are oversubscribed. So all of that is moving in the right direction. And if anything, what I hear is there's not enough and we want more. Mm. And we have 100 houses a day taking up solar panels. So all of that was what we were discussing. Mm. And how, I suppose, we make sure that we keep that on the agenda, particularly in Midlands Northwest, where, to be honest with you, only two MEPs voted against nature restoration law at European level, and they're both in this region. So it's crucial now that we maintain that support for the environment as we're going into this election.
Housing, a big issue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, housing comes up, and the Green Party, for our point of view, what we've done is to ensure that we have cost rental model of public housing put into the programme for government and delivered, 1,000 delivered last year, but that needs to ramp up. Vacancy and dereliction, all the government parties are behind, up to 70 grand to renovate vacant houses. These are the kind of, I suppose, from our point of view, these are the focuses. And I think what Eamon Ryan said in his speech then is there will be a projected 40,000 houses built this year. So look, we all know that that needs to continue and it needs to ramp up. And it's one of the main planks. It has to be for every single political party. It feels the same about housing.
Well, that's well ahead of the target of 33,450 new builds for 2024. Is that aspirational? You said projected. Is that actually possible?
No, it absolutely is. And I guess Eamon was asked to clarify this on the Week in Politics, actually, and he did say this isn't what he'd like. As you say, it's not aspirational. It's the prediction for this year. So that, you know, we'll probably see that hit this year, but we need to make sure that we have people who are focused on continuing to deliver that beyond this year. And indeed, as you say, it's well beyond what the target was, 33,000.
There's no doubt that climate is a big issue and will be a big issue in the elections. And it's a big issue for your base in terms of how you will get elected. But housing definitely is the big wedge issue here. And even this morning when you started talking about it, I know you're the Green Party and it's your right to talk about that, but is housing not going to extend your voter base more than going straight on about green and climate issues?
Look, I mean, my take on it is that even if there wasn't a climate and biodiversity emergency, the things that we're doing are actually things that make people's lives better. Mm-hmm. And it's about creating thriving communities. It's not only about bricks and mortar, it's about clean spaces, it's about more public transport so that people can easily get about. I mean, we all know if we're sitting in their car and we do it every day, all of us make different choices about how we travel. Mm. And it's bumper to bumper traffic, that it's simply nicer if there are more available options, which is why, like in places like Kerry, there's been over 1,000% increase in people using public transport. And these are actual things that make people's lives better. So it's about the houses, but it's about the quality of life as well. And Midlands Northwest is a huge commuter constituency as well, which people don't realise. There's an awful lot of train stations, more train carriages, the opening up of the Western Rail Corridor. I would love to see light rail and put it into the programme for government that we have a feasibility study here in Galway. So, no, you know, the two things aren't separate, I guess.
No ring road, though. It's coming in the text signs there. No.
I've been very clear about, I've been very clear about this, that you've had politicians elected for 20, 30 years in Galway West, where I live and bring up my kids, who have been promising a thing that they haven't delivered. And meanwhile, they've been doing absolutely nothing else. So it's time for people to think, do they want people to be honest? And do they want people to take action to make people's lives better? And I believe that they do. I mean, that's what I hear. And look, I was elected on the first count to the council in 2019 when the ring road was every bit, if not more, on people's lips in 2019. So, you know...
But plenty were elected who were very supportive of the ring road as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's now with On Board Planola. No politician, no matter what they say, can force that through On Board Planola. And they make false promises. I think that there's two things needed in politics: honesty and action.
Okay.
And action is what we see now in Cairn Station, which is an increase from 1.5 platforms to 5 platforms, double tracking. Those are the things that make people's lives better. And the childcare, I mean, it's the Minister for Childcare is a Green Party minister. No other government has put in place the reductions in childcare like we have, and it'll be a 50% reduction in fees come September. So, you know, those things are not all, I suppose, things that people would associate with climate, but in my view, deep down, there are things that everybody is looking for, and everybody, if they sat back and thought about it, would identify as Green Party.
Okay, I want to bring up another very serious issue. The protests outside the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman's home last week, what did you make of that? I know he got a standing ovation at the convention.
Yeah, look, I was on to Roderick, I'm chair of the Green Party, so, you know, we've been very close contact all at the time. He was fine that night, spoke to him that night. He had actually been out canvassing when it happened, so he wasn't in the house, and nor was his husband. But it's really serious, and we see it here in Galway as well. I think we don't talk as politicians about the amount of threats that there are. But, you know, it's not just about politicians. It's about, is this the kind of world we want to live in, where masked people are outside somebody's home on the street where there are other people and children living? And it's pure intimidation. Like, you'd have to think, what was going through somebody's head? If they wanted an actual protest and to make their voices heard, they go outside Leinster House. And day in, day out in Leinster House, we see protests. Absolutely fine, no problem. But this was intimidation, and this was threatening behaviour, in my view.
Yeah, I know the GRA are meeting in Westport today, and they've hit out at a lack of clarity in legislation as to how far they can go in terms of these protests and arresting people, and then on the other hand, free speech and right to assemble. There is a line, though, at someone's private home.
I think there's a balance to be struck, because what you don't want to do is to allow people, I suppose, to be emboldened if they're getting massive attention from something. And I think that the Gardaí are probably really thinking about that. But there's also a line, and there is legislation there that does allow the Gardaí to take action when there's threatening behaviour. It's hard to see how this couldn't be interpreted as threatening behaviour. But I wasn't there, the Minister wasn't there, and the Minister has certainly said that he feels that the local guards were very, very supportive of him at the time.
Now, the Minister for Justice is not attending that GRA meeting in Westport today in support of the Garda Commissioner. And the GRA have hit out at that, saying that their dispute with the Garda Commissioner is purely operational reasons. And they could still talk to the Minister about things that are outside of that in terms of wage increase and stuff like that in the force. Do you support the Minister for Justice in not going in support of the Garda Commissioner?
I haven't spoken to her, but I think people are concerned about safety in Ireland, and I think that the Gardaí are also concerned. I think they have every right to express that. I suppose, you know, the Minister for Justice is in a difficult position. because Drew Harris's position as the commissioner. But I would support the Gardaí's right to speak to a minister about their own conditions. So look, I haven't spoken to her. I think she's in a difficult position, but certainly I think changes are needed.
I know that your leader, Eamon Ryan, made a statement at the convention as well that early false promises will not win over electorate. Are there cracks starting to appear in the government in terms of, was that a shot at Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil making big budget announcements and promises before the election?
Every party is different. We went into government, it was the longest negotiation for a programme for government ever, yeah, because we're not in Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. We don't agree with everything that they stand for, excuse me. Sorry, John. Yeah. And so we can only be honest. I know for my part, and I go round and I do hustings in Midlands Northwest, and you've got a certain number of politicians who are very much the Greens are to blame for everything, despite the fact they haven't done anything themselves for 30 years with a growing crisis that now is being landed at the door of rural Ireland. We're the only ones doing something about it, if you ask me. And I'm also faced then with others who are sometimes from government who are saying, oh, we're going a bit too quickly. Well, you know, on climate action. So I don't stand side by side with people who say that we should take action, but you're just not now. We don't agree on everything. So, you know, I think we are going to see that, and we're going to see that everybody's going to lay out their stall, and we're no different to that.
Are you afraid you're going to get thrown under the bus come election time by the other two parties?
Look, I didn't go into politics for the same reasons as I think some other politicians went in, and that is to make, you know, a career as a politician. I went in because I felt somebody needs to step up, you know, frustrated as a mother to see a lack of action. That's why I went into politics. I could have stayed a solicitor. And so all I think about going into an election is being honest and truthful about what needs to happen and what I stand for. And if people vote for me or for the Green Party, they do. And if they, you know, if they don't, then that's up to them. But I suppose there's no doubt but that right across Europe, we're seeing a growing far right, for want of a better word. I think Eamon Ryan has said nihilism. So just we are in a dangerous position now where we could go backwards. And I don't think that Irish people want to go backwards. And so that's why we're setting out our stall, that if you really do want to continue this progress that people have been happy with, albeit they want more, then it is time to vote Green again on the 7th of June.
You've mentioned honesty and truth a lot in this conversation we're having. Were the Green Party honest and truthful to a lot of their base who felt alienated when you did go into government with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and a lot of them on the left side of things couldn't stomach that and actually left the party?
You know, I've spoken to a lot of people in our party, or indeed people who left our party, who said, look, we didn't think that the Greens would actually get as much done as you have, or as we have, and that they're glad to have been proven wrong, you know. But of course we all make compromises. It's difficult day in, day out, to push a boulder up a hill, but I think the very fact that what the projected emissions reduction for last year is 5%, and that we have more renewables than ever before, that all of those things demonstrate actually that it was the right decision. And we were really, really clear. I was really clear with the people on the doors in Galway. Will you go into government? I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, if we'll absolutely go in if we can negotiate a good programme for government.
Yeah.
Nobody should stand, and plenty of people do, including here in Galway, nobody should ever stand for election and not be prepared to take action once they get elected and just sit back and take a salary. You should always try and go in and do your best. And so, you know, other party would be in the same position if they were in government.
What did you not get done out of your... I remember you had a big points list of what you wanted to get done in government. One that sticks out in my mind that you didn't get done was the ending of direct provision. I know a lot of things have happened in the last 4 years to complicate that. But what else have you not got done that you wanted to get done?
We have another year, so I'm not going to say what we haven't done when we're not at the end of that.
What's still to do?
I definitely think, you know, it's disappointing about direct provision. What's still to do is that we still need to continue to work on the lowering of emissions. But I think most things are in train. We spent the first couple of years, and I'm a member of the Joint Rocks Committee on Climate Action, and we spent a huge amount of time in getting the Climate Act right. All of that groundwork was done. The million euro a day spending on cycling and pedestrians, I would like to see more of that being rolled out in local councils, particularly here in Galway. And we are going to see more over the coming months, particularly here in Galway. So it is more of that I think we need to do.
It is Earth Day as well. What do you make of the new report from the EU Copernicus Climate Change Service and the World Meteorological Organization, which has said there has been a 30% increase in heat-related mortality in Europe over the past 20 years?
Yeah, look, I was only thinking and having chat about holidays with people, you know, and where they're thinking of going on holidays. And I think it's quite clear people don't feel safe going to mainland Europe on their holidays anymore in the summer, because over the last couple of years there's been so many heat waves that it's actually shocking and dangerous, in fact. And Ireland is one of the few kind of temperate places left, and yet we have seen about 10 months of pretty much solid rain. My own uncles are all farmers. It's had a massive impact there. So it's coming home to roost, I think, that this is real. And unfortunately, we have had a few decades of inaction, which we're now trying to address. But we got over 50 MEPs for the Greens elected last time into Europe. Mm. And now we've seen over the last year a rolling back from Ursula von der Leyen and some of the commitments. We've seen a rolling back from some of the ministers in some of the other European countries. So more than ever now, we need to have, I suppose, a good election. But we also need to be really clear with people. There's a phrase, you know, keeping 1.5 alive, and that is that we don't go above a temperature increase of 1.5. Well, we've gone above that as a globe, and so we can reverse out of it to a certain extent. That's what we have to do. It's important for even from Ireland's point of view, future prosperity. You know, we have a huge opportunity here. 80 gigawatts worth of power, wind power off the West Coast. It's actually the right thing for our economy as well, that we go green.
Final one, good news for Galway hospitals and in terms of cancer treatment for people as well.
Yeah, look, as most people will know, I work a lot in the area of women's health, and so there's good news on a couple of fronts. Last week, got a call from the Minister for Health to congratulate me, I suppose, but I'd congratulate the women who come to me. There's a treatment to prevent hair loss during some cancer treatments, and only 7 hospitals across the country have it. And so I put forward a motion in the Shannon last year to have that rolled out across every hospital. And the minister did, in fairness, say he hadn't heard of it and that he would do his best, and rang me last week to say that he's got the funding now. So that's to be rolled out for any hospital that takes it up over, you know, over the next while. And indeed, those hospitals who already had one can avail of more.
Okay. Senator Pauline O'Reilly, who's also running in Midlands Northwest for the Green Party, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. We are looking at cancer supports for young people next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Good morning, and welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Patricia Gleeson, who is a clinical nurse specialist and at the AYA Cancer Service at Galway University Hospital. We're also joined by Nora Goley as well from Currafin. You're both very welcome on to the programme today. And Patricia, I'll start with you first. Good morning. And talk to us about the AYA Cancer Service there in the hospital.
Hi, thanks so much for having us. So adolescent, young adult cancer, it's a very new, evolving subspecialty in cancer services. So I suppose where it started in our current national cancer strategy that we have, they would have identified this community of young cancer patients as unique. And from that then, we developed the framework of care and support for adolescents, young adults with cancer. This framework then is where my role and Galway as a designated adolescent, young adult cancer designated centre. So AYA, or Adolescent Young Adult Cancer, is the, for us in Galway, where we support 16 to 24 year olds with a cancer diagnosis. And I suppose 16 to 24 year olds can be referenced sometimes as a lost tribe, and a little bit kind of, you know, not having needs met within the paediatric cancer space nor in the adult cancer space. So they have unique needs, and it's about tailored specialised care for young people at a stage in their life that is changing and developing, and then having a cancer diagnosis on top of that can be challenging. So my role is really to support patients like Nora, who really privileged to have looked after and still care for.
Okay, and the type of support now you're on about, just talk to us about that.
So the types of supports, it's really kind of, my role is very much a key worker role. So I'll meet the patient and family very early in their diagnosis, as early as possible, really, and throughout their journey, which can be very straightforward for some young people, but it can also be quite challenging. Lymphoma is probably one of the most common cancer types. So in terms of even educational material, information about their cancer treatment, it needs to be more age and developmentally appropriate for that young person. But it's also about taking into consideration their families. Parents and siblings are really, really important. I think for me, with the experience as a cancer nurse for nearly 15 years in the adult setting, we always treated 16 to 24 year olds. When that young person would come into the cancer services, you know, there was definitely a need for more support and more signposting. And I suppose in Galway, we're trying to create designated spaces as well for the younger cohort cancer patients to be more age appropriate, but also very opportunistic in them being treated together in similar spaces, because it can be very isolating and very lonely for young people coming into the cancer services.
Okay, we're joined by Nora Goley as well from Curfin. Nora, good morning. You're only a young person, but talk to us about your cancer journey and how that began.
So it began all the way, I suppose, back in maybe like October. So I started noticing some symptoms. I wasn't feeling completely myself, but didn't take too much notice, just carrying on with day-to-day life, college and everything. And then as the months progressed, I just had more and more intense symptoms. So I just kind of had like, just, you know, shoulder pain and like kind of itchy skin. It's very random symptoms. You won't really pinpoint it down to something exactly. But then it was probably then around March then I had a biopsy, and that's when they found out then in April that I had Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then by literally this time last year, I started treatment. I did that treatment all the way till October of this year. And thankfully now all's well. All my scans came back clear. And now it's just kind of checkups every kind of 3 months to make sure that I'm free. But at the moment now I am. So I'm very thankful for that.
I'm delighted to hear that. And you're glowing as well. Talk to us about the support that the AYA Cancer Service provided for you during that time.
So it meant then when I was going through all this treatment, I had like Patricia there to kind of help me guide myself through it. In regards to college, if I need time off for, you know, exams and postpone things, she was there and she kind of corresponded with my college. It also meant my mom and my family had like other supports as well, like leaflets and booklets and phone numbers to contact people we needed to be in contact with, or just even to ask for other questions and advice about how to go about doing certain things, because obviously we'd go about doing things differently than to normal people, such as maybe getting vaccinations or just certain things like that. So it's very helpful to have that side of things, to have Patricia to lean on and to make life easier and to simplify everything as well for us.
Mm. And in terms of life outside of all that then, you've been able to continue and do your exams at a later date in college?
Yes, I was. I was able then to come do assignments instead of being present there for the exam. But I was also, for some exams, I was able to sit. I was given allocated extra time, which meant then I wasn't as stressed out and I could take my time, do things at my own pace. And I really appreciate that, because exams are stressful enough, no mind, with everything else going on.
I know. And how's life been for you at the moment? What are you getting up to and keeping busy in the sunshine?
At the moment now I'm studying for my exams like everyone else at the moment, but it has to be done. Typical, the weather is lovely, but hopefully now in the next month or so my exams will be done. I'll be able then to just enjoy the summer, because last year I wasn't able to enjoy it as much. So at least now this summer it'll be a bit more normal and I'll be happy then.
And what are you studying? Where are you studying?
I'm studying in the University of Limerick. I'm studying pharmaceutical and industrial chemistry. And I'm in second year at the moment, so
Wow. It's
kept very busy anyways.
Well, the very best of luck to you.
Thank you.
It's great to see firsthand the impact your services can have on people, Patricia.
Yeah, and I think just to reiterate what Nora said about it, in terms of the universities and the colleges, I think for us, we give cancer treatments and cancer themselves can have a lot of long-term, short-term side effects and late effects. And it's really for that young group of patients who are starting maybe college for the first time, or we have patients that are maybe sitting there leaving cert, it's all about equal opportunity. And unfortunately, the cancer treatments that we give have an element of side effects that could be brain fog, fatigue, peripheral neuropathy, which is numbness in the hands and feet. So supporting them in terms of extra supports that they might need in college not only creates equal opportunity, but, you know, I suppose some of the research out there would say that young people with cancer maybe aren't meeting the same kind of opportunities in education and employment as their peers. So for us, we need to address that. And by linking in with colleges who have absolutely been wonderful and very supportive, you know, even if it's just for a short period of time during their active cancer treatment, but I think right into survivorship, you know, we want them to use this as a platform to succeed and do well in life. Mm-hmm. Nora is a great example of that. And yeah, she quoted last summer, and you know, like I said, a lot of young cancer patients can fly through their treatment, but sometimes you do get a dip and infections, and we know that's you're a little bit more immunocompromised. And Nora, again, I think engaging socially is so important, and staying in touch with your peers, and that's something that we look at as well, is about reaching out and finding out, well, you know, staying in contact with friends, sports teams, and just staying as social as possible for their own well-being.
Definitely. I know there's great investment gone into services, including in Galway as well, so it's great to see that there is that investment being put into it. And it's all about just making people aware and educating as well.
Absolutely. This is Adolescent Young Adult Cancer Awareness Month. We had our first AYA Cancer Awareness Week, which was really wonderful, but really interesting that a lot of people aren't aware of this service available to young people. So I suppose for parents that maybe are facing this, it's just good to know that these supports are there. And I think, you know, Really Fishing in the UK, for example, their theme for AYA Awareness Month is around empowering young people in terms of their health, knowing what kind of symptoms might be significant to address, and to be more confident in presenting to healthcare providers. And young people for us, they're at the centre of everything. Part of our national team, we really, you know, they're very eloquent and they're amazing advocates. So we want them to tell us what we need to do to create a really good AYA cancer service. We have amazing consultants and teams in all cancer specialities in Galway. And thankfully, you know, we're getting our new cancer centre, and AYA will be a big part of that. So Nora is just a prime example, really, of somebody that's engaged really well with the service, and will continue to support her right into survivorship.
Brilliant. And Nora, are you keeping busy? I know Cara Finn is football mad. Are you keeping busy outside of studies as well?
I suppose I just kind of meet my friends and do day-to-day normal things now compared to last year. Thankfully, like, I can actually go out and be in the sun and just enjoy more of life, and I take it not for granted as much anymore compared to this time last year. You know, you can't be like, oh yeah, I can live forever, I'm young. But when something like this happens, you actually realise, oh, like, life can be short and everyone should definitely live it to the fullest of as they can. Because you never know what can hit you or what can happen. So that's for young and old, just for everyone to make the most of the time you have here, because it can come and go as quickly as it comes, I suppose.
Well, you're a ray of sunshine. You've brought the sunshine into Studio One this morning as well. Nora Goley and Patricia Gleeson, the clinical nurse specialist at AYA Cancer Service at Galway University Hospital. Thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. Still to come this morning, we're looking at an art sale for the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation. That's next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Good morning and welcome to Galway Talks with John Morley. We're looking at a Jack and Jill Children's Foundation Incognito art sale, which takes place on Wednesday, I do believe. We're joined on the line by Michaela Foley of the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation, and in studio by Pat Flannery, who's taking part in this Incognito art sale. And Michaela, I'll go to you first. Good morning. And talk to us about the art sale and where you got the idea for this.
The art sale was it came around 8 years ago. It was curated by a lovely lady called Lucinda Hall. We are now in our eighth year. It's one of our biggest years, as we've over 1,200 artists with over 3,000 pieces of artwork this year. Back in 2020, it took a bit of a turn. So when the first was, when Incognito first started off, it was in art. We did an art gallery style in Dublin and in Cork. But obviously with COVID, we had to lastminute.com put it onto online. And as a result, it's one of the biggest online art sales. And it's 8 years running now.
Brilliant. And talk to us how it actually works in practice.
So how it works is the sale will take place on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. So basically what you have to do there is you go on to www.incognito.ie, onto the website. I would recommend taking an hour out with a nice cup of tea to browse through the collection, as there is a lot there with over 3,300 pieces of artwork. So what you do is you browse through the collection, and if anything tickles your fancy, I would then recommend creating a wish list. In your wish list, you can add up as to how many items you want in your wish list, but you could be on the day of the sale, you can only get... You could be very lucky and get your favourite piece. You can get three of your favourite pieces, or you may not get anything at all. It's like a draw, so it is. So it's basically based on the luck of the draw on the day. So you create a wish list. You add in your pieces of artwork that you would really, really like, and keep your fingers and toes crossed that by Wednesday morning, 10 a.m, that you get an email saying you've been successful purchasing your favourite piece. And each artwork is €65. But I would recommend taking an hour out with a cup of tea either today or tomorrow to browse through the fabulous collection.
Okay, one of the artists taking part joins me in studio, Pat Flannery from Ballyband. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm very well. Talk to us about why you decided to get involved in this great initiative by Jack and Jill.
Oh, it's a fantastic organisation. Myself, I have five grown-up children and I have three grandchildren. I've been very fortunate that none of them have ever been seriously ill, but I know people that have grandchildren and daughters that are seriously ill. And being an artist, it just seemed like the perfect opportunity to help a charity. It's something I love doing, so... spreading a bit of my love and letting someone buy a piece of my artwork and the money goes to a fantastic charity is very worthwhile.
And talk to us about the type of work you do, Pat.
My work is all watercolours. I do very vibrant, colourful paintings. It's all about the expression of the animal or the flower, and I focus on the detail. So it makes a great asset to any home. I do a collection of animals. I do a collection of flowers, and I do a collection in landscapes.
And if people want to get more information on your work, I know not for this art sale, but in general, where's the best place of seeing your work?
Well, I'm on all the usual social media, Facebook, Instagram, and I have my own website, which is patflannaryartwork.com. And all my work is available to view and buy online.
Brilliant. Well, well done for getting involved in this.
Fantastic.
Back to you, Michaela. If people want to get involved and to participate there, just remind them of the details on that.
So log on to www.incognito.ie, browse through the collection, set up your wish list if you want to purchase, if you've fingers crossed want to hopefully try and purchase a piece of artwork. But go on to our website, incognito.ie, set up a wish list, add in all your details and add in your favourite pieces that you would, fingers crossed, like to get on Wednesday morning. And each piece of artwork is €65, but have everything ready to go before Wednesday 8 a.m. as the sale begins on Wednesday 8 a.m. and there can be no changes done after 8 a.m. to your wish lists.
And just a reminder, Michaela, the type of work you do, you give vital respite relief to families in most need right across the country and in Galway as well.
That's right. Currently, at the moment, we have 27 families in County Galway under the Jack and Jill wing, which is absolutely fabulous. But Jack and Jill really is a nationwide charity that funds and provides in-home nursing care and respite support to families caring for children, up to the age of six, with severe cognitive delay and neurodevelopment delay as well. Some of our children may have brain injury, cerebral palsy, or undiagnosed conditions. And also another key part of our services here in Jack and Jill is end-of-life care for all children up to the age of six.
Brilliant. Well, the very best of luck with it as well. Michaela Foley of the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation, and also Pat Flannery, one of the artists taking part here from Ballyban in Galway City. Thank you both for joining us on Galway Talks. We're looking at sport now, though, and I'm joined across from me by Darren Kelly of our sports department. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Great to have you with us this morning. It was a busy weekend, and you're breathing a sigh of relief following Galway getting over the line against Sligo.
I love the way you put that we're breathing a sigh of relief, but you're absolutely right. It didn't go according to plan, but thankfully for Galway in the Connacht Senior Football Championship semi-final, the result was right. We got much more of a test than many people, and many pundits here, many supporters were given Sligo credit for. We know great work has been done in Sligo, and they hit the ground running. 4 points in a row at the start, led for the majority of the game. Thankfully for Galway, Robert Finnerty got that goal and put us into a Connacht final against Mayo. Look, at the end of the day, and we'll hear from Pádraig Joyce in a moment, that performance is not going to cut it if we want to have a good season this year or be even beat Mayo in the Connacht final. Some positives we take out of it. John Shane Walsh got a bit of game time, scored a nice point at the start. Damien Comer, very, very important in helping Galway get back into the contest, let alone get the job done. Robert Finnerty was consistent, kicked a couple of points as well as that goal. But look, Pádraig Joyce, the Galway manager, was talking to Jonathan Higgins afterwards and he didn't pull any punches.
It definitely was a relief, yeah. We were playing second fiddle the whole game there, and look, at least we stuck at it. At the same time, things weren't going well for a lot of lads individually, but we stuck at it and eventually got the break at the end, which, you know, was disappointing for Sligo. They probably will be kicking themselves, they didn't see the game out. They were the better team by far all day. They were in control of the game a lot of the time, and we were just very relieved to get out of here and be in the Connacht final in 2 weeks.
A huge scare. We were all getting worried. I won't lie, through the second half there as well. You're waiting for the moment to come. Sligo kept finding another score, finding another moment.
Yeah, they did. And look, they played really, really well. Like, but you know, our lads let them play as well. They let them control the game. Our lads never got up to the pitch of the game at all, really. And you know, like, that's a couple of great performances. Sligo, you know, they kicked some great scores there. They caused a lot of trouble around the pitch. And yeah, it's hard to put your finger on at the minute, but we need to figure it out quickly because that performance won't be good enough in 2 weeks' time, as we know.
Now, elsewhere, Galway weren't as fortunate in the minor ranks.
No, a very, very disappointing start for the Galway minors. Beaten by Roscommon on Friday night, 110-107. Just 1 point, John, from two games. They have a big game coming up against Mayo this coming Friday night at 6:45. And it's near must-win territory there now. Like, Alan Conroy got a goal for Roscommon very, very early. David Kilrain got Galway back to within a point when he got a second-half goal. But not according to plan. We got a late point to get a draw against Sligo, beaten by Roscommon. If we don't beat Mayo in this game on Friday, John, we will be out of the championship. By the way, just mentioning Mayo again as well, 115-13 the senior yesterday. The Connacht final confirmed May the 5th, 4 o'clock in Pierce Stadium.
I may be going to that one. In hurling, Darren, there was a great win for Galway against Carlow.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, people will look at the performance and this, that and the other. Look, you're playing with Carlow, and look, Carlow put it up to Galway there, got back to within 4 points at one stage. It's about getting the job done. That's exactly what Galway done. They finished 225-214. Gavin Lee and Connor Cooney with the goals. You know, Galway were always in a hiding to nothing. Henry Shefflin gave his thoughts to Niall Canavan afterwards.
2 points on the board, I suppose, and I don't think we've any major injuries coming out of the game, so I suppose they're the positives. Performance not good, obviously, Niall, so that's a bit of a concern. But look, I think some of it was good, and I must say Carlo, I would say, played very well at patches as well, so just to recognise that from the outside. So but from our own side, no, we know that if we perform like that next week, things won't be good.
Yeah, similarly, it was disappointing for the minors here.
Yeah, like I say, as Henry was touching on, the senior game against Kilkenny next week, and I just want to mention John Dublin, 2 late goals against Wexford, which got it to get a draw in that match. So Leinster heating up. I know we don't have time to go through Munster there now. That would nearly take a whole segment just to talk about the Munster Championship the weekend. But for the Galway minors and hurling, it just didn't. It was a disappointing day. And that's mildly putting it. 424-114. Look, it's very, very difficult when a team starts off an underage campaign, how they're going to go, the management trying to work out their squad. Look, for Kenneth Burke and his management team, they'll have a lot to think about ahead of going to Dublin next Saturday as well. Kilkenny, their first victory, I think, against Galway in the minor championship since back in 2010. So a lot for Galway to look at. A bit of positive news, though, the failure hurling did take place over the weekend. Just pity, John, it was all cramped into this weekend, but that's just the way it is. Oranmore Mary, crown champion. Champions, beating Killiney Meelitrim by 12 points to 8 in the Toddy Byrne Cup final in Duggan Park yesterday. Abby Knockmoy won the Shield and Scarhanna Mobellamilock took the Justin Cheevers Cup.
Now in ladies football, there was goals galore in Galway versus Roscommon in the under 14 grade.
Yeah, I picked the right Galway match to go to this weekend, didn't I? it was absolutely, not just the scoring, John, I won't go on too long about, but it was just a polished performance from Galway. Defensively, young leaders out in the field. Now look, we don't want to be putting pressure on them. They're only 13, 14 years of age, but 9-7 to 1-2. Chloe Flynn, 4 goals for her. Ellie Harty O'Brien, who was only a half-time substitute, gets a hat-trick in the second half. Levisha Keane nearly got a great goal that cannoned off the crossbar like the England in 1966. Ruby Maguire from Dunmore McHale's, the work rate she put in as well, and I could talk about many more as well. They'll go on to the All-Ireland Series, which starts on May the 4th, but this was a very, very good Galway performance.
Yeah, and great news as well for the underage ranks in Camogie.
Yeah, the game that probably escaped us this weekend, but we want to give a shout-out to the Galway Under-17 Development Camogie team. They beat Kilkenny 2-14-3-10 in Loughrea yesterday to win their All-Ireland final.
Now moving on to rugby, and a great win for Connacht.
I'm a Ballinasloe man, a proud Ballinasloe man, so let me say Matthew Devine. He was divine. First start for Connacht. 2 tries in the first half. A big results needed for Connacht, because before the European matches, their form in the United Rugby Championship hadn't been great. They delivered yesterday. They would have been expected to beat Sebre, Niall Murray, Tom Farrell, Sean O'Brien, Bundy Aki, J.J. Hanrahan, who also kicked 6 conversions. He got a try too. Finlay Beelam, we talked about on Friday, making his 200th appearance. Connacht dropped to 9th. Now it's very, very congested in that section there now, with Stormers and Ospreys on 40 points. Edinburgh, Connacht, Ulster and the Lions all on 39. The crucial thing there, John, is for Connacht to get in that top 8 position. Look, they lead, there's 4 games left in the campaign. They need to pick up results, but they're back in the mix. I want to give a shout out to Corinthians and Galwegians. They both won their respective All-Ireland League playoff semi-finals this weekend. Corinthians beat Wanderers 35-21, Galwegians 40-17 winners over Brough. So they have games coming up as well, their playoff finals, looking for respective promotions. As I mentioned, being a Ballinasloe man, I can't go without mentioning the under-14s, who beat Craigs 39-12 to win their Connacht Cup competition yesterday. But hard luck to Tuam. They went down 20-18 to Carrick and Shannon in the Junior 1C final.
Now in soccer, a great win for Galway United.
And it's a big match tonight away to Sligo, but first step victory against Shelburne, 1-0. Ed McCarthy goal after 24 minutes. A. Dervin with the cross. He nearly got a great goal too, chipping the keeper as well, the ball coming off the upright. And John, quite simply, Galway United were good for this result. This wasn't one of these like poxy goals, what you call it, against the run of play. Like, Shelburne did finish the game strongly, threatened near the end, but Galway United could have been 2 or 3 up. A fantastic result for them. Has them currently 6th in the table on 14 points. As I mentioned, their way to Sligo Rovers tonight, a game we've live here on Galway BFM. If they win that, they could go up to 4th. And just before I stop there, I just want to mention the local Premier Division. It's heating up there, John. The top 3 all winning in the weekend. Salthill, Devon, Attenry and Mary Owen Moore. It's really between Salthill, Devon and Attenry. They're due to play each other on May the 17th. That could be the title match. Salthill, Devon don't need 6 points from their last 3 games to win the title.
Mm-hmm. Now in MMA circles, a lot happening.
Yeah, a lot happening. And a person that I've been really following recently there is Andreas Judica Binder. He made a successful return to the octagon last night with a 3rd round submission finish over Victor Cuckoo in Amsterdam. Andreas had won the Levels Fight League world title back in July, had moved up levels but just missed his weight, so he's moved up to welterweight there now. He's on 4 wins. He's only 27 years of age. He is someone to keep a real eye on going forward, and well done to Andreas.
Staying with combat sports now, and good news for Munavae's Adam Heshin.
Yeah, he's through to the European Elite Championship quarterfinals following a unanimous decision over Belgium's Vasilia Story. And also, John, Kieran Malloy, unbeaten in 8 fights on Saturday. He did get knocked down in the 6th round, but got himself back up to beat Sergio Garcia Herrera on points. And I can tell you this right now, John, we haven't announced it yet. Kieran Malloy will be on Over the Line tonight with George McDonagh after the Galway United Sligo Rovers game.
Brilliant. In cricket.
Cricket, a great story here. It was on Sunday Sports Show yesterday. Kilconnell Cricket Club celebrate the launch of their new club with a victory over Sleat Bloom on Saturday, winning by 1 wicket at home. You can hear a full interview with the members of that team with John Mulligan on our website, goybfm.ie.
And in racing?
Racing at home today is in Tramore, and our tip is Drumlee, running at 7:10.
Thanks a million, Daz. You're bang on time as per usual. Still to come on the programme today, though, we have Galway greats, and stay listening for this one, because Art Maguire of the West End and Raven Terrace, he has a remarkable life story to tell, and it's absolutely hilarious too. I had my side split in half and I was listening to him earlier last week as well, and he's some lovely music picked out as well. So Arthur Maguire right after the 11 o'clock news, and Death Notice will be speaking with me for Galway Greats. And because we had Darren earlier, we have live music at 11.45 as well. Music Network presents Matilda Lloyd and Alexandra Whittingham. So all that plus lots more coming up on Galway Talks. Stay with us, we're with you right through until 12 o'clock. A very good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.